He knows our first step and He knows our last breath, but He knows all that's in between. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's just God. Amen? And He guides and leads and tries to direct us. Amen? I mean, the plans of man are good, but I'll tell you what, He orders our steps. Amen? If you let Him, you can be resistant. Thank you. Yeah, right, about right here. You know, I want to start out with reiterating about my heavenly visit. And the reason I want to do that is because it's like the Lord has released me to do that. And I want to talk about, you know, that day that I died in that operating room and they were fighting for my life and I was watching it. And then the next thing I knew, I was like being hurled, what I would say, through the universe. And it was like at breakneck speed. It was like I was Superwoman and the Lord was right next to me and I couldn't see Him. I just felt His presence. But we were just going as fast as we could go. And then all of a sudden, He just kind of slowed it down. Some of you probably never heard this part of the story. But He just slowed it down. And when He slowed it down, He had me look over that way. And I saw Saturn. Now, I didn't know what planet that was when I saw it. Because I was never into that kind of stuff in science. So, you know, I didn't even know my planets. Remember, I was the one that went to two or three different schools every year to get locked up into anything. It just was amazing. So I had my interest in history, but not planets. And so, anyway, I'm looking at Saturn. But I'll tell you what, it was the most beautiful thing that I ever have beheld in my life, other than walking in heaven. It was so beautiful, and the colors were so vivid, and the circles around it were so intricate, and they were separated. It made one, but they were separated. It's kind of like the body of Christ when we're in unity. I mean, it's beautiful. We make a beautiful color. I didn't understand this then. I do now. But recently in our newspaper, there, our local paper, there was something about Saturn that came out. And it was after I got home, and I mean, the picture was in black and white. But the picture was so vivid of all the pictures I've ever seen of Saturn, I never saw the lines like I saw them when I went by. And my heart just leaped. I was standing in the kitchen at the bar, and I was looking down at it, and I mean, Henry wasn't there, and I mean, nobody was there to say, hey, I need to show you something. This is it. The only thing, it was in black and white, but I didn't care. It was just that much more powerful because it defined the lines, the lines. But what's more interesting than me seeing this beautiful, beautiful beholding that I had laid my eyes on, but it was what the Lord said to me. He said, Nancy, isn't that beautiful? And I went, oh, I can't explain it. I can't describe it. It is, the colors are so vivid. I've never seen so many beautiful colors. And when you go and check out Saturn, you're going to find out a lot of things and the way that the universe is and the way that the light shines through. I mean, you will understand what I'm talking about, but can imagine me going right past it? And He stops me so I can look at it. He said, this is where I saw His hand. He said, I created all this. I created all the universe. I created heaven. And I created the earth. And about that time, He goes, and I created the universe for you. And He turned my head back and I saw the earth. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. The earth compared to the universe is so beautiful. The color blue for our earth is amazing. That color blue. And He had me turn around. He said, I created all this for you to enjoy, us to enjoy. Do you enjoy the heavens? Do you enjoy looking at the stars? He created that for us. Then He says, so why would I contradict myself? Out of the blue, I'm having this awesome spiritual moment. And He says, so why would I contradict myself? Now, see, I didn't have a hang up about this, but He was giving me a message. And when I was ready to give it, He would help me with it. Right? He goes, Nancy, why would I contradict myself? Why would I put aliens on in the universe when I created the universe for the world? Why would I do that? The only aliens are my citizens of heaven that are still on the earth. Remember that. That's what he said to me. It just kind of blew me away. So whenever you hear the aliens and we're getting this chatter and we're getting that and they're carrying on, I have to chuckle. No, don't go there. Orders from the King. Amen? Amen. We get aliens right next door. Just worry about that. Amen? So, after I got to heaven, I didn't go through any gates. I don't remember going through any gates. But as time goes on, God reveals when I'm ready to understand it. And that's how it's been. But what he revealed to me was we were walking and already in conversation, men conversation, when I realized where I was at. And I was walking on these paths, these streets of gold that were clear. I could see through them. I could see the grass under them. I could see the grass everywhere, and the grass was alive. Listen, I'm telling you, everything in heaven is alive. Everything is alive. And I remember the grass was following us. Jesus and I are coming down the trail like this, and now Jesus is walking with me, and we are talking. And I am just blah, 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 with questions. Okay, and I didn't know I had those questions in me. And so as we're walking, I'm looking at the grass, and I'm watching the grass move with us. And I'm thinking, man, the grass is excited to see me. And then I realized it had nothing to do with me. They were looking at Jesus. You know, it's always about me. Anyway, I remember that point, and I had to chuckle. And I told you guys before that I had my encounter with the pond that didn't have an innie and outie, and I'm a fisherman, and I had a real problem. On this earth, I have a problem when I see a pond that doesn't have a stream going in it or out of it, because I know it's a dead pond. And so it was like, oh, I was sad. I mean, this is going on in my mind. I'm not saying anything out loud, but the Lord laughs and he goes, oh, Nancy, you don't understand the scriptures. And I go, what? And he said, I know what you're thinking. He said, Psalms 23. What does it say? I lead my sheep to still waters. He said, see what you don't know, Nancy, is sheep have little short legs and they're all fuzzy. And when they get around water, and if water is turbulent and they fall in the water, they just flip over and they drowned. I didn't know that. They were terrified of water. And if there was any swirl in the water, they wouldn't go near it, because that would be the last time they'd see their buddy. You know what I'm saying? See, God had it all worked out, where he wanted to take me, what he wanted me to see. Well, we went on down. Mark my word, I'm not lying about this. This is the truth, what took place. Meanwhile, they're on earth. They're in Seattle at the Swedish hospital trying to bring me back, because I'm flatlined and everything's like, I'm dead. Okay, I'm out. But I'm not. I'm with the Lord. And we're walking, and I'm oblivious of what I left behind. But I am very aware I'm in heaven. I'm very aware, because everything about it's like I get so caught up and I start crying, trying to describe heaven, because it's so grand. And you have no idea what's waiting for you and how you will be blessed. And you will never be bored in heaven. You'll never be bored. I'll tell you what. And there's something about the air you breathe. There's something about everything. Every color is brilliant. It's just life. There's no pain. There's no emotional pain, no physical pain. None whatsoever. Until he told me I had to come back. And then we had an argument. And I cried. And I said, I thought you didn't cry in heaven. You know, he didn't say this, but I knew what it was. I was on a day pass, because I had to go back. And it was the toughest year I ever spent in my life, having to know that. You know, when Paul had those experiences, Peter had an experience, John had an experience. You know, it was hard. Well, I had an experience, and it was hard that first year, especially when I thought, your phone's on there, especially when I thought that I thought people would be excited about me telling them what happened, because why would I ever make a lie like that up? And the first two people I told, they went, what kind of drug were you on? What did they do when they did surgery? What did they use? And it was like, even my doctor called to Alaska after I got home, the surgeon, and he said, Nancy, tell me what happened during the surgery, because I know you remember. And I told him what happened, and he said, I've had a lot of patients that's happened with. It's very real. Don't be afraid of it. I've had many patients have life-after-death experiences. I wanted to hear yours. And he said, Nancy, we lost you 7 times. They lost me 7 times on that table. My heart just stopped. My heart could take any more. I was lacking in potassium so bad that they were trying to put liquid potassium in me to get me up to a level that I would survive the surgery. Well, they didn't get enough in me, and my heart just stopped. And that was it. I couldn't take anymore. That was my 3rd surgery on my stomach, and my body just could not take it. A lot of the stuff around my heart was compromised because of the scar tissue. So it was just a very compromising time, and I just didn't make it. I just died there, and they had me opened up when my heart stopped. They were massaging my heart. I was watching it. I thought, what am I watching? Am I watching a movie? Who is this person? I do not like blood and guts. I would never watch somebody doing surgery on somebody with them opened up until I heard the anesthesiologist say, damn it, Nancy, breathe. Nancy, can you hear me? Breathe. And I went, oh my gosh, that's me. You know, and I was way up in the air. I felt real tall. I thought I was really tall, but I was in the air because the Lord was starting to move me out of there. Okay? Now you can sit there and let your heart get hardened to my testimony. That's going to be your problem, not mine. I am telling you the truth, and it's very, very real. And I haven't changed anything in it. Anything. And it's as clear as it is today. It's as clear as the Lord came to my room last night. Guess what today is? The first, it's, last night was New Year's. Yes, New Year's Eve. Today is New Year's in Israel. So what does he do? He comes and wakes me up at like 4:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. I rolled over all over the bed. I was like, I mean, once in a while, Sarah go, are you okay? Are you okay? I didn't know what was wrong with me. Nothing hurt. Nothing was, you know, it was no problem. And then the Lord says, get up and find a pencil. I'd rather use an ink pen, but okay. But it was just metaphoric. You know, he wanted me to get up. He wanted to have time with me. So from 5 to 8 in the morning, I sat in the bathroom on the side, either on the side of the bathtub or on the toilet, and just started writing what he was saying to me. Just putting it to my mind exactly what he was saying and what he has planned for 2018. Amen. And yes, it's hard not to go there. I mean, it's like, Lord, help me keep here, okay? So I'm just telling you, you know, if you don't hear the Lord speaking, don't be mad at me. You don't hear the Lord speaking. Just work on it. Amen? Just work on it. Be still and know that He's God. Be still and know He wants to talk to you. Amen? And He does. He wants you to hear Him. He's always talking to you. He wants you to have ears to hear and a heart open to receive. Amen?
Amen.
So as we were walking, I'm going to tell you a couple events that took place. 4 events. The first one is, he said, I want to take you and I want to show you something. And we went over to this place where it looked like shears were hanging down. I couldn't see a roof. I couldn't see anything holding the shears. You know, it's kind of, and it's in heaven, so he can do whatever he wants, right? And so we went into it, and there was a stand, and there was a book open in it, sitting there, a big book, I mean, big book on this big stand. And I walked over to it, and I'm looking at it, and I said, well, Lord, what is this? And he said, it's the Book of Remembrance out of Malachi chapter 3. I really didn't know what that was. Not at that point. I didn't really dive into it, understand it, because when the Bible talks, God talk, you know, you got to read between the lines, and it's either the people grumbling or God responding to their grumbling, and I never really made Malachi matter so much as he was scolding him about tithing. Well, I tithe, so I'm not going to read that. I used to take that and shove it under Henry's nose because he didn't believe in tithing until God got him. But I did, and it's like, why do you always give this to me? Give it to Henry. I get it. But it just took Henry a while to get it, okay? And when he got it, oh my gosh, he's got it big time. But anyway, so he said, let me show you what happens. See, if you read the story of chapter 3 of Malachi, where he is scolding them because they're robbing him, they're not giving the tithing what is proper. He said, you don't understand that I will bless you. I don't need the money. I don't need it. But I can bless you. It's a form of let me bless you. You know, you aren't going to ever be able to outgive me. But the people were grumbling and they go, we've tithed. Why are you saying this to us? You know, all these bad people go out there and do anything, and all you do is talk about what they do. You never say anything to us. You never build us up for what we're doing. And God got really discouraged with them because they were bad-mouthing him. And then a few men decided, this isn't right. We need to stop this. And they started sticking up for God. And God said, do you see that? Do you see what's going on? I mean, this is in heaven what I saw. He said, do you see what's going on? They are defending me. Write their names in the book of life, and your names will never be removed. I want you never to forget that whenever you defend the Lord, when you're prepared to give a good defense of the gospel, I'll tell you, your name is being written in the book of life over and over and over again. And God celebrates it. He's got his angels on it. Amen? And it delights him when you stick up for him, when you defend him. Amen? Because what you're doing is you're walking a reality. Amen? And so we walked a little bit further, and he said, I'm going to take you somewhere else. And we went over on this side. And I remember I told you before, I got to see Apostle Paul, and I got to see Apostle Peter. I'm not going to get into that, but that was awesome. But then he takes me over to this other place, and I walk in, and guess what it is? The Lamb's Book of Life. And I said, wow. And it's huge. It's a huge, huge table and a huge book and millions of names. I'm looking down and he says, and let me show you what I do. You know, your husband, he cried out to me when he was 5 years old, when his daddy was trying to kill him and his mom. He went in the bedroom and he cried out to me. His name went in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said later, he's just started going through Henry's life of all the times that Henry, in the military, all the times that Henry did not really know Jesus personally, and it's the Lamb's Book of Life, but whenever he would cry out to God in faith, he would just write over his name, and it would go deeper and deeper and deeper. See, I've seen this with you, Dave. I've seen this with you. I got to see your name. And nobody knows it, and I'm just going to bust him out. But he just is a man of full of acts of kindness. But he does it in secret. There, I blew his cover. But I saw it in heaven. What a righteous man he is. And he knows how to give a timely word. And he's slow to speak, quick to listen. Amen? A lot of you in this room, your names are probably in there. And if it isn't, I would encourage you to work on it. Amen? But if you look in chapter 21 of Revelations, you'll see there is a Lamb's Book of Life, and your name is written in it. If you know Jesus, if you're walking in the Lord, your name is there. And it will not be erased. Amen? God isn't about erasing. Then we went a little bit further. These are four events that I held back telling you guys because I just didn't trust that you would believe me. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you now. I think you need to know it. I told you the easy stuff that I was comfortable with. But there was another thing. He said, Nancy, get ready, get ready. And I mean, it wasn't like that. It was like, Nancy, get ready, get ready. An event's about to happen. Get ready, get ready. And I'm like, okay. Where do I look? I mean, because what I'm seeing is openness, and it's bright, and it's life, and I mean, there's no walls, there's no gates. I mean, it's like, if I went through a gate, I don't remember it. He has not revealed that to me, but I'm telling you, it is just so beautiful. And I'm looking and looking, and all of a sudden, there is such a celebration. I can't contain it. Everybody was screaming and yelling and celebrating, and I went, "What's going on? What's going on?" It almost sounded familiar to me. And he said, "There's a new name written down in heaven." Somebody just asked Jesus into their heart. And all heaven stops everything when a new name is written and a book of life. Amen? And it was like a celebration. I knew it. When I lead people to the Lord, I hear the shofars. I hear the trumpets. I hear the horns. I hear them celebrating. And it started when my husband got baptized. And after that, I mean, it was after that, every time somebody got saved, it was like, I just heard this roar of celebration. And how could I tell anybody? I mean, they would have thought I was nuts. But I went, all heaven rejoices. And I remember this one lady, I went to her house. She called me the night before and she goes, "I'm in a really bad way now, Nancy." I was a preschool teacher to her son. And through time, they ended up in our church and whatever. But before she ended up in our church, I mean, she would corner me. She cornered me in the grocery store. And you guys know about my lettuce ministry. Let's praise the Lord. And I'd hang out in the vegetable department. And I'd just wait for people to come. And I had them. And she comes up to me and she goes, "Do you really love children like you claim?" She goes, "Because I can't stand kids. I barely stand my own." And it's like, oh, that's money I want to punch, you know. It's like, I don't get it. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, when I lost Jamie, my daughter that died, I'm going to tell you, I could not understand why people would abuse their children. I mean, I couldn't understand. God, where's the fairness in that? I would have given my best to Jamie. Why did you let her die that way? Why did you take her? You know, after she died, we moved down to the peninsula, and we moved into this apartment complex, and the guy that rented it out was related to the owner, so they got to stay in the main apartment, and they had 6 kids. I mean, it was his and hers, and they were shacking up, really. But what they would do is when the kid, later in the day, before school was out, they would go to the bars, and they'd lock those doors, and those kids could not get in their apartment, and they would roam the streets. When it's 20 below, they're going and knocking on doors trying to get into somebody's house. And I mean, I started pulling them up and making them hot chocolate and, you know, making sure I grabbed them, the older ones. I mean, they came on a different bus. Sometimes I didn't get them. They'd get off the bus, and they'd just hit the street to go find somewhere to stay because they knew their parents weren't home because the car was gone. And I just remember I would lay there in Henry's arms at night and cry because I miss Jamie. And I go, "Well, I don't understand why he did this to us. We would have given her the best life. They would have never had to go door to door to find warmth or find food. You know, why did God do that to us?" I wasn't a Christian yet. I knew God, but I wasn't a Christian yet. So here I am, so excited. This woman calls me up about Spike, and she says, "I've got a problem, he went through a stage where he would cry. They'd read the Bible because I told her just, you know, actually I just said, listen to him pray, you know, and just encourage him. And one night she went out, she could hear him crying, and she stopped, and she just stood by the door and listened to him. And he goes, "God," he goes, "I talk to you all the time, but you never talk back to me. Am I not good enough? Can you not talk to me?" Some of you adults in this room talk this way. Anyway, so she called me up and she said, "I don't know what to do. This is almost cruel. This is cruel." And I said, "No, it's not." You know, my initial reaction was to go buy him a Bible, a children's Bible with pictures. But I said, "You know what? I need you to go over to Sedona, buy your son a children's Bible with illustrations. And you just sit beside the bed and read stories with him. And as he gets familiar with God's voice through the written word," I said, he'll start hearing God. Sure enough, that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. Meanwhile, her and I became better friends. And one day she called me and she said, I just got to talk to somebody. I don't know who to talk to. And I said, okay, what's going on? And she said, well, I'm pregnant. Oh, wow, I'm excited. I mean, when somebody says they're pregnant, I'm excited. She's married. I mean, I didn't think anything would be naughty in it or whatever. She goes, no, you don't understand. She said her husband had a vasectomy 18 months earlier. I went, oh. She said, but Nancy, it's his. But the doctors even here are saying I'm taking him for a ride, making a fool out of him because he shouldn't be able to have children. And she said, it's bad. It's bad. He's threatening. It was so bad that he sat down. He started telling all the times he fooled around on her, thinking she'd tell him. She was devastated. You know, it just made it worse. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. How about if I come over in the morning? I'm going to come over in the morning after he goes to work. Can I come over to your house? And she goes, okay. So the next morning I went over and I sat down at her little kitchen table and we started talking. And I said, Can you tell me, are you a Christian? Because I know her mother. And she said, well, I thought I was. My mom's a Christian. Doesn't that make me a Christian? I said, heck no. A lot of people think that way. And their faith is in their mom's hand, not God's hand. You know what I'm saying? And I said, well, I need to introduce you to my best friend, Jesus Christ. And the next thing you know, we're sitting on the floor, and the next thing I know, she's crying and asking Jesus into her life. And I was so excited. I was so excited. Got out in the car, and I'm going down a road. It's a bumpy road. But as I'm going, the Lord says, hey, Nancy, here it is. There's a new name written down in heaven. I mean, that's what God was doing with me, singing that song to me. And my car was going, loo, 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 loo. And I went, yes, yes. And I could hear all heaven. So when I saw that happen in heaven, I went, I've seen this. I knew it. I remember going like this. I knew it. I went like that with my leg. I knew it. I've heard this. Amen. Do you believe me? I hope so, because it's the truth. The only time I stretch it is about fishing. You know, the one that got away? Okay? And I think all of us are okay to do that. Just a little bit. Anyway. So then we walked a little further and he said it again. I mean, I was like, oh, that was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. And we're walking a little bit further and he says, okay, get ready. This is even bigger. And I went, it is. No, wait till you hear what this one is. And I'm walking. I'm going, should I stop? What's going to happen? And he says, just wait. It's going to happen. And all of a sudden, what I had just seen, maybe 5 minutes sooner, I mean, it was so glorious. It was so bright. It was so loud. Everybody. And it was like they were picking up stones off the ground, all different kinds of precious stones, different colors. And they were throwing them in the air. And the Lord was doing a light show through those stones. And it was the most beautiful, glorious thing I have ever seen in my life. And I was blown away, and I said, Lord, is that a more important person written down in the book of life? What would you think? You know, it was huge. He said, Nancy, that celebration is for the one that was a Christian and walked away, and he was turned around and came back. There's a greater celebration in heaven for someone that has known the Lord, rejected the Lord, cursed the Lord, and turned around and came back, because that's the hardest person to bring back. Or to bring to the Lord is one that I went there, did that, been there. You know, you meet a lot of 40-year-olds. They either go forward or they go back. And a lot of them, I just don't want anything more to do with it. I went through that. I don't need it. And they just shut you off. And I'll tell you what, if you can reach somebody like that, all heaven rejoices. It is a huge celebration, and it's biblical. It does say it in there. Do you remember where it says it, Sarah? It's in Luke, she said. But anyway, I had it written down, but I didn't know that's what he wanted me to do tonight, or I'd had those scriptures for you. So anyway, in saying all that, there was other things that took place, but the Lord said, start this way so they understand why you hear the Lord, what's going on, and why we're headed to some very important events here in the next 5.5 years. And I'm not telling you when Jesus is returning. I'm telling you, you need to get prepared. Amen. I'm telling you that you're not just going to get prepared. You're going to get ready. Yes. Amen? Yes. Not just prepared, but ready. And I'll share more about that tomorrow night. But right now, I want you to go with me to Psalms 18. And while you go there, you know, the theme this year has been the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is victorious. Amen? The number 20 for the 2017, that number 20 is redemption. And the Lord said the 21st century is all going to be about our chance to reunite, to come back. Do you hear me? A lot of Christians, even sitting in this room right now, profess to be Christians, but they've gone into that lull. I'm a Christian. My name's written in the book of life, but they're not doing anything in the church. I mean, they haven't led anybody to the Lord so long, they don't even remember who they led to the Lord. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so the church has become stagnant. And I'm speaking in general. If you're not part of the general, then praise God and I applaud you. But I'm telling you that all the churches I'm going to in this hour, what I've been doing the last year and a half, that's not the case. You don't have kids in the church. I mean, I got my little sweetheart sitting here, but how many children do we have in here? We've got a group of children that came with Bona and Ben, but where are the children? Why aren't the children here? Why aren't the children in the church? God bless a church that has a good kids program. Amen? Because the church is going to grow because of the children. Amen? You know, I counsel kids in college that come and see me, and you know, they're in different kinds of movements, and I've heard all the movements. I've heard how they've slipped into sin in the homosexual movement, and the abortions, and the living with their girlfriends or their boyfriends, and all of a sudden they quit college, and their parents are pulling their hair out, and I'll sit with the kids, and they'll go, I just didn't have the strength to overcome. I was raised in the church. I don't know what happened. Well, I do know what happened. We walked in the form of godliness, but we did not teach power. And the power is vital, and the power is important. And I'll talk more about the power probably Saturday night, the power that's within you. But I'll just leave it there that if we just walk in the form and deny the power within, we're not going anywhere. And I'll tell you, when Satan knocks at the door, he's going to overcome you. He won't, you know, if you're not inclined to drinking and drugs, that's not what he's going to come to the door and give you. It may be the soap operas. You know what I'm saying? Yes. It may be the chocolate fudge. Whatever it is. And you know, if you're not supposed to eat chocolate fudge and you eat it, it's going to kill your pancreas. Amen? I mean, he has very, very clever ways he comes after us to try to distract us from the kingdom route. Amen? And so the way of the Lord is victorious. That number 17, 2017, the number 17 means victorious in God's word. God talks to us in words and he talks to us in numbers. So 2017 is the way of the Lord, victorious, overcomers. Amen? So he gave me two sets of scriptures and three words that I'm going to leave you to think about that will probably just pour over us the whole weekend, okay? So I asked you to go to Psalms 18, and I'm going to take you to verse 30 and read the scripture to you. Amen? Do you have your ears on? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me ears to hear and a heart to receive. Give me ears to hear and a heart to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven, and he is a shield to those that trust him. Now let's think about that for a minute. The way of the Lord is perfect. You know, no matter what, if you have plans in your life and you want to go a direction and you have laid all those plans at his feet, he's going to make the way perfect. God doesn't have any imperfect way for you. Amen? The word is proven. The whole Bible, but especially the Old Testament, is over and over. What does it say? The word is proven. It is not a lie. Amen? It's not a lie. They keep proving it and proving it. You listen to the findings in Israel. They're always coming up with finding more things that are proving different ones that exist. They were still wondering if King David was a a fantasy or whatever. That's not the right word, but a lot of naysayers didn't want to claim that King David even existed. Now they're finding stuff that is just proving, and it's in the secular writings outside of the Bible that talk about his season and his time of reign and about Goliath and et cetera and et cetera. I mean, it's like, if you ever have the opportunity to get online with some of the Israeli news and some of the teachings that they provide, you can get online and I get news from Israel every day. I know what's going on. I know the lies. I know the truth. I know how America's given them a bad rap. We've got a lot of people in this country that hate Israel. They don't know what they're talking about. While the young people think that they need to go over there and help the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, they just think Israel is just awful. And it's like the time that I went over there and I walked into the Greece airport. Sarah was pushing. We'd just come across 19 countries, went into Spain, worked all the way over to Greece. 19 countries we went into. And we had a phenomenal event that took place right there at the capital of Greece, where they sent guards in to protect us. Who are you and why are you here? And I said what I was, and he said, well, carry on. And they turned around to guard us and eventually left. But when Sarah and I packed up to go to the airport to fly to Israel, we go through the doors. We don't even go to the ticket counters. We go through the doors, and a man's waiting here, a man's waiting over there, and they're going, would you please come with me this way? They took Sarah another way. They separated us. I get over in a private area. I don't remember where, a room or wherever it was. And the man goes, okay, I need to see your itinerary. I need to know what hotels you've been staying in and all these countries you've been going to. And I'm looking at him. He didn't even open up my passport. He knew who I was. He was using my name, and he didn't even open up my passport. And I'm thinking, what is going on? I said, well, just a minute. She had a set of our itinerary. I had a set that Henry put together for us, and I'm digging in it to pull it out. And he goes, look, we've been monitoring you since you hit Spain. And what are you doing? I said, I'm going to every capital, going to the Eastern Gate, and praying as God has instructed me. I'm from Alaska. I'm just a simple woman. I assist my husband in pastoring a church, but this is what God has asked me to do. And he said, and God told you to go to Israel and pray for the capital. And I said, that's right. He goes, Nancy, I'm really sorry to detain you. I had to find out, because we have boat people going in there, and all they're doing is going in there protesting against Israel. And you know, they're for the Gaza. And he said, I just had to make sure that you and your friend weren't going to go in there and stir up problems. It's pretty obvious that you're a leader. And I said, no, I love Israel. I'm a part of Israel. As a Christian, I will stand up for you forever. And tears went down his face. And he said, well, bless you. And they when Sarah and I got together, they pushed us right through. They pushed us right through to get over there right away. So God had a way. I kept my nose to the grind. Amen? I mean, that did kind of frighten me at first, but then we've had a lot of events like that where God was right there and made it clear. We don't lie. We just take care of business. But his way is perfect, and as long as I listen to him and do what he says, and she listens to him and does what he says, and whoever, whatever team members are with us, listen and do, you know, before I even let somebody go with me, I'll just say, listen, are you going to have a problem if I say stop, drop, and roll? Are you going to have to stop and turn around and say, why? Because we don't have time for a why. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to trust me.
Amen.
Amen. You'll have to trust me. If I say stop, drop, and roll, you stop, drop, and roll, and don't say anything else.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, they want to come on their own airplane, they want to come in their own airport, they want to do their own thing, they're on sightseeing, they're on buy-in trips, or they're doing whatever. I don't have time to be making sure that they're safe. I'm responsible to their husband. You know what I'm saying? And it's like I don't have time to do that. I only have time to go in and do what God's asked me to do.
That's right.
Amen. So that's the litmus test for me is, are you going to submit? Look, I'm no big deal and I'm not real bossy. I'm not a dictator, but I'll tell you what, I want to make sure you're protected. And if you're, you know, it's like when we went to Europe, this woman wanted to travel with us. So we get with her. Do you remember that? She came from your area, left her husband and all that garbage. Anyway, she gets over to England and I mean, every place that she went, she had excruciating headaches. She'd get sick. She would throw up. Well, those places we were going were evil. We're going into the enemy's camp. But if God sent me into the enemy's camp, He covers me.
Amen.
And if you come with me and stay under that covering, you're going to be okay. Amen? Guess what? That's what I believe. Amen? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't do what I'm doing. I would be the biggest chicken. Remember, I don't like snakes or spiders, and I'm going to places where there are big snakes and spiders. But there's that cocoon. Amen? Anyway, so we get over there, and she goes, I want to go with you, but I'm scared this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And I said, it's not going to happen with me. You stay next to me. You stay next to me. I mean, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray for some deliverance, because you got some sin operating in you. We've got to get rid of that. You need to do some repenting. Her husband was with her. She's remarried. He was so excited. He had a new wife. Remember? He had a new wife when we were done. I mean, they're doing all kinds of traveling now. That stuff is gone. Amen? But we did. We went to Serpent's Mound in Europe. We went to Stonehenge. Stonehenge was nothing compared to some of the stuff I mean, it was like so diffused. I mean, but Serpent's Mound, that was another story. That was a little bit challenging. But it was good. And we were safe. Were we safe? Absolutely safe. Amen? So, God says His way is perfect. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Are you on a track right now? Are you wondering where you're supposed to be going? Well, tomorrow night, I've got some really neat things I'm going to share with you about the clarity and understanding of God. Amen? That's for tomorrow night. But anyway, so He says that also that His testimonies are proven. The Word is proven. Everything God says here is proven. Amen? You can go ahead and test it. In fact, He encourages you to test it. But He will take care of you. I know people that if they would trust me and listen to what I say, they would be blessed. One of the things that I ask them to do is to repent and ask for God's mercy. And when you ask for God's mercy, and I'll be getting in this more tomorrow night, the minute you start talking mercy, mercy is already flowing. Because faith rose up and said, Lord, I need mercy. And the minute that mercy comes out of your mouth, the mercy is coming. But see, where it really gets activated is if you have the faith to believe the mercy's coming. Because if you just step aside, where'd the mercy go? Because of faith, you didn't believe. And the Bible shows that people with faith get well. Amen? Amen? So yes, He says the Word is proven. The Old Testament is all about testimony. The Bible is about testimony. It's called what? The Old and New Testament. Duh. So it's proven. I mean, and it's being proven more and more and more. And listen, if you're married to a man like me, I'll tell you what, he is a searcher. I mean, he searches the Word. He teaches. He's an excellent teacher. He's known to be an excellent teacher. And I mean, he has proved and proved and proved. Because he doesn't just read the Bible. He reads all kinds of studies outside of the Bible, things that were available later that have their documentation of what took place here, what took place there. And there's this little side comment in the writings, and he'll find it. He'll go, here it is. And he'll yellow it out. He'll bring it to me. And he'll go, here it is, right here. Amen? It's not that we have to prove it. It's already been proven. What we have to do is believe.
Yes.
It's already been done, but sometimes we got to question it. And probably it's because we want to have a good defense. This is why I know it's the truth. This is why I believe it. This is what I found. But on the most part, per John, let God, he said, I'll make a way for you. Amen? And that third one is he is a shield that those that trust him. And see, that's where our big hang up is. And I would blame the men mostly in this, but I can't do that because I've got women friends that they just go so far and then there's no trust. And you've got to trust his word. You got to trust him this very, very moment. You have to believe if you came here tonight to get a healing, you got to trust the Lord. That's exactly what he wants to do. But there's a part of us that has to be in this interaction and in this play. We have to have the faith. First, we have to believe. Then we have to have the faith. And the belief is right in the center of the faith. The faith starts growing because you believe. And guess what? The growth is something that is intangible. Faith is intangible, but all of a sudden then it's undergirded with trust. And the next thing you know, guess what's happening? Favor starts pouring out. Favor starts pouring out. Amen? Look at that as a concept because it's very, very interesting how we can approach and receive our blessings that he wants to give us. And by the way, you wouldn't ask for that blessing if he didn't put it in you. You would go to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? And not that I have anything against doctors, because God created doctors. He created medicine, and I think that if he has another plan, I'm willing to go that plan. Amen? Amen. I got to cover myself. Okay, so can we read this together one more time? You have your Bibles open to 1830? They don't have it up there. Okay. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. And he is a shield to those that trust him. Would you like to see the sister to that in the New Testament?
Yes.
Would you like to see that? Okay. So let's go to Revelations. Revelations 12. Revelations 12, 11. That's even a bigger. This is the sister to Psalms 18:30. Are you ready to listen to it? Revelations 12, 11. Okay. Satan is thrown down out of heaven, but let me tell you, we're gonna go right to verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood. And they overcame him. They overcame by the blood, the perfect. Do you get it?
Yes.
The word, what is it? The way of the Lord is perfect. The way of the Lord is perfect in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? If you grab the blood of the Lamb, if you understand what he did for us, for the cleansing of our sins, that is the way of the Lord in the New Testament. It's the blood of Jesus that we have something here in America. I mean, it's around the world, don't get me wrong, but our foundation was built on Jesus Christ. And we have a way, a sure way, and we need to get our people turned back to that sure way. And when I say our people, we have Christians, professing Christians all over, and now they're starting to say, well, you know, there's other ways. No, there's not.
Right.
There's not. Don't give in to that. It's a lie. There's only one way, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. And he made a point of that from the Old Testament all the way to the very end. He made a point of that. Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father, to restore us what Adam and Eve caused as a breakup. Amen? And you've got to understand this. In that whole process to bring us into reconciliation, why do we stop at Jesus? He is the door, the way, the truth, and the light. Why do we stop at him when he's there to bring us reconciliation to the Father? How many of you are talking to the Father? How many of you are walking in the garden? How many of you are sitting beside your bed and the Lord is right there with you? Amen? That's what Jesus did. He said, I want you to be a minister of reconciliation like I was. I want you to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, just like I was, an ambassador for reconciliation to the Father. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I pray you're encouraged. Amen. I'm heading down the road here. I'll almost be done. Amen. So, the second line, what does the second line say? And they overcome by the testimony of their word. What is it? What is what Psalms 18:30 say? The word is proven. And they overcome by the word of their testimony because it's proven. Do you have a testimony? Do you share it? Amen. When was the last time you shared your testimony? How did you become a Christian? How many in your workplace know you're a Christian? When's the last time you shared it with a group of friends? When was the last time you were comfortable to sit around and talk about Jesus at dinner? As Christians, I'm talking to my Christian brothers and sisters. Why do we go, oh, I don't want to be religious? Well, if that's how you look at it, it is religious. But I'm talking about a testimony of life that's proven, that should instill life and instill encouragement and enthusiasm, because that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's why He gave it to us. Amen? Why do we throw it back in His face? I mean, Malachi, look at Malachi. You know, it's like, well, look at them. They're doing drugs and they're rich and they're running the country and they're doing this. And you won't do anything with them. Well, guess what? He is going to do something with them. And He's also going to do something with you. He has a great plan. Hang in there. Don't give up on Him. Stay the course. Amen? Stay the course. I can say that because I can't tell you how many people get in front of me and they're ready to quit. How can you quit? How can you quit? You're a Christian. You're always going to be a Christian. So how can you quit? Sometimes, don't you get frustrated with people sometimes? Sometimes it's like, what are you saying? You know, let me take you back to Psalms 136. I'm thinking it's Psalms 136. And go through the 26 verses in Psalms 26. And what you'll see is a scenario where a priest in a synagogue is repeating, he's speaking to the group, the congregation. He's telling them what they have overcome. And after he do the line, the congregation's response was, God's mercy endureth forever. Do you know where I'm talking about? Have you seen that? What if you took and printed that out in small print and left a big margin on the side and you took your life and took 26 things, start maybe at 10 years old and start writing out how God intervened and there was a victory and you wrote it down. And what if you did that 26 up to present day, 26 things, and after everyone, God's mercy endureth forever, His mercy, right? And your children come along and say, Dad, Mom, what is this? Well, this is what God has done for me. His mercy endureth forever. Amen? And you can keep adding to it. But I'll tell you what, that's your legacy that's going to live on. Then your grandchildren are going to see it. Then your great-grandchildren are going to see it. Amen? Isn't that a good idea? And you understand about His mercy endures forever. Because I'll tell you, sometimes we're wretched and stinky and we don't deserve His mercy. But I discovered something about mercy. And I'll save it for tomorrow night. How's that? Then the last line. Make Him a shield. He will be your shield if you trust Him. Psalms 18:30. But here, look at the one for that. It says, where am I at here? 12:11. He says, and they did not love their lives into death. Now we're talking. Now I know what I'm saying. You want to know why? Because there's got to be a place that you come in your life that to live is Christ, to die is to gain. There's got to be a place where you trust God so much yes. that He can activate you. But you know what? It comes down to trust. Yes.
Yes.
He said, I'll be your shield. You want to know why we can go to these countries and we're in a bubble and we've got intercessors praying for us? He's laid it on their heart to pray for us. Why? Because we trust him. Because, Lord, you asked me to do this. I believe you asked me to do it. By faith, I'm walking it out. And he's saying, and I'm going to take care of you. And he tells my husband, I'm going to take care of her. I mean, he tells my husband before he tells me. When that first started, I went, I'm glad you and God had my life planned out. And I was serious and I was crying because my life I thought was perfect. I was a preschool teacher. I was head of the Sunday school department in the Nazarene church. I was the camp director for Boys and Girls Camp for the state. I had Saturday church where other churches could be involved, and we did activities, and what did we do? Spelling bees. Debbie helped do the spelling bees and stuff so they could learn, not spelling bees, scripture bees. What do they call that, Debbie? Quizzing. Quizzing programs. And we would go down on the peninsula, go up the peninsula, go to Anchorage. I mean, we just had those kids so stirred up and so excited. And I loved it. I loved it with everything in me. I went out to conferences to find out how to work with children even better because I just loved children. And then I was going to college and I was getting my papers so that I could take over the preschool. At the Nazarene church, they wanted a new director, and I started going to classes and taking classes. I was getting A's. I was so proud of myself. I mean, I believed in what I was doing, and I was giving my best, and I was putting those grades up on the refrigerator, and the church said, if you get A's, we'll pay for it. Well, I didn't have the money, so I had to get A's. 2 weeks before I graduated. 2 weeks. And after I graduated, I was going to be installed the new director of that school, and it was my heart's desire. I don't know how many children are under my belt that I led to the Lord at that little pew up in front, taught them how to pray, got to baptize them. This was my life. I loved it. It was everything in me. I loved it. 2 weeks before I graduated, the Lord said, I want you to just resign from everything. That can't be God. That's evil. I went to Henry, and I said, Henry, God has asked me to lay this all down and resign from all of this. I mean, it's phenomenal because some of the jobs I had, women in the Nazarene church can't have. So what the pastor did is he said, you have the job, I'll go fishing. I didn't care about labels. I just wanted the job. I loved work. I mean, I remember I'll work with the little girls, but you know, I don't know, the little boys won't probably relate to me. Guess what? They did even better. They needed a mommy they could cry with. The sexual abuse that was going on, you know, I found out at those camps, you know, working with the little girls and what was happening to them and what I had to do to get that straightened out delicately. Delicately. And so I'm like, all that I'm worried about, that's what I care about with all my heart. And the Lord says, you need to lay it all down. You need to give it to me. So I went to Henry and I said, well, this can't be Henry. You know, this, it's got to be Satan talking to me. I can't believe that God would ask me to do that. Henry said, he is. See, what happened was when I died and went to heaven, how he got me to come back. I think he was going to send me back anyway. But he said, it's time for you to go back. And I said, no, please don't make me go back. Please. I begged him. And I started crying in heaven. I said, I thought you don't cry in heaven. I started sobbing. I didn't want to go back. And he said, but you have to go back. And he just took his hand and put it on my belly, all across my belly. And he said, you have to go back because I'm going to send you to my children all over the world. And that wasn't even in my mind. I didn't even understand what he was saying. And he wasn't talking about children. He was talking about his children.
Yes.
So, you know, I had to work on that one. And so when Henry said, yes, the Lord came to me 6 months ago. And the way Henry told it, it made me cry because he said, you know, you've had her all this time. He said, now I want her. And Henry, you've got to let her go. I'm going to send her to the ends of the world. And I stood there and looked at Henry. I said, I'm just so glad you and God have my life mapped out. I was not happy. I was sobbing, and it was like a death to me. But you know, in the days that came along afterwards and I was healing from it, I did turn in my resignation. I did step down. I finished the school year out with the kids, but I didn't take the job. I didn't turn in my paper at the end. That was the last part of it. I'd taken all the tests. But you had to write this paper. I'd been working on it. I had it 3/4 done. I just went in and bleeped it. That was my final act of trusting God. Bleep. And it was hard. You walked through that with me, didn't you? Remember that going on? I mean, it was hard. God changed it all. He did. It didn't all happen right away. He started sending me around places in Alaska. Then he sent me across Canada. Then he sent me to Ohio. Sent me to Ohio. I think since 1997. Ohio, Ohio, Ohio. Then over to West Virginia. Then started sending me to South Carolina. Georgia first. Then South Carolina. And you know what he said about it? You know why? I mean, you guys probably wonder why that's my main places that I go in Alaska or in America. Is Georgia, South Carolina, Ohio, and West Virginia. You want to know why? He said that they are the apple of his eye of America. That's where it all started. Think about that. It's the apple of his eye. When you do research, you'll see that that's the truth. Even their names, when you look at their biblical names for those states, you'll see it is the apple. I mean, he went back where the beginning started. And he's working out. He didn't go back like this. Let's start in Alaska. He didn't do that. He went back to those 4 states. He started me in Ohio, West Virginia, South Carolina, and Georgia, and then South Carolina. And listen, the reason I couldn't go to South Carolina and Georgia is because they weren't ready for me. There was a lot of stuff going on down there. And they just would not accept a woman preacher. And I didn't really think I was a woman preacher. I was just doing what God asked me to do. I wasn't in the cube, let me tell you. You know, and it just took gentle patience. It took humility. It took taking some of the most horrible things a pastor could say to you and just smile at them. And you had to just love them. But now, you know, we don't have enough time to get all the meetings in. Last year, I did 50 meetings in January and February. 50 meetings. And those meetings were critical. And the outcome of the elections were based off of what he had me do in those 50-minute meetings. And the change and how the churches were setting up registration booths in the back of their church because Georgia and South Carolina had so many people that never registered to vote in their lives, never been involved in an election in their lives. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old in the church coming up weeping, I've never voted, I've never registered. Well, we took care of that. And do you know that what happened with the first primary, and it wasn't a matter of who I wanted them to vote for. I just was sick of listening to the statistics of only 26% of the Christians in America vote in a national election. And man, I went after them. I went after them. And I'm not a politician, but I'll tell you what, this country was getting in a really bad way. And what happened, the report was, is their primary, this is the truth, their primary, it was the highest turnout of, first of all, of registrations in both those states, and at the primary, the voting, the highest number that ever had voted in history in those 2 states. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that awesome to be a part of that? And I'm not a politician. I mean, Trump keeps writing me. He wants me to come to the White House. I mean, he's heard some things. He heard about what I did in those 50 days. I was invited, but I was doing a conference. I couldn't go, but I got an invitation to go and have dinner with him. I couldn't go because we were doing a conference. I think it was in January of this year. I don't know what I would do. Oh my gosh, my knees would knock so bad. I talk like this, I go, oh my gosh, I don't know what to say. I'm really happy in my little cocoon here. Amen? But that is the truth. I'm not bragging it, I'm not patting myself on the back, but that's what God's plans are. Amen? Then he starts sending me to these countries, he had us pray for the capitals, And why did he choose me? I'm still scratching my head on that. But why not me? Because I don't have any hidden agenda, you guys. Nothing. I just want to obey him, and he's got a sucker. I mean, he just, whatever he asked me. I mean, there was one time I cried. I just felt overwhelmed, and I just didn't think I could do anymore. And I cried. And I said, all right, I'll do it. And I was crying. I was flying into Miami. I'd just come back from Europe. And he gave me a new assignment. And I said, it was to pray the borders of America after we'd already prayed the capitals, after we'd already just did 19 countries in Europe. We'd been the Scandinavian countries when we were working hard. And I'd had that stroke that year, earlier that year. And I just was really weak. And we were flying into Miami, and he said, I have two things. I'm going to tell you something I want you to do, but I want to tell you something I'm doing. And that was where the shaking came. And historically now, they've proven that shaking did take place and affected the navigation in planes, trains, and ships. And that's why we went through that stage where trains were going off the track. It was because they were doing the same thing they always did, but the navigation had changed. And I'm telling you, planes were getting off course and they couldn't figure out what was going on. Boats were in and up in areas they weren't supposed to be in. They were crossing international date lines that they shouldn't be crossing. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that interesting? But he did it. He told me he was going to do it. But the other thing is, I want you to pray the borders of America. I want you to pray the east first, the west second, the south third. And the fourth, the north border, more northern border. And I was looking out the window, tears just went down my face, and I said, okay, I'll do it. But I said, can you tell me why? And he didn't answer me. He came 3 weeks later, and he asked me again, will you pray the borders of America? And I said, I told you, yes, I was having a bad day. That's what I told you. I said, I was having a bad day. I was exhausted. We were flying back into America. And I'm sorry I asked why. I won't do that anymore. I'll just do it. And then he came again, and he told me what he was doing, and he obviously forgave me. Amen? So this last line is, to live is Christ, to die is to gain. And I realize I have an advantage over a lot of people because I've already been to heaven and I know what's waiting for me. I'm not afraid. But I tell you, there's a place there where I should be afraid, but I'm not. I'm not. And I'll do what God asks. I do have to be protective of those that are with me. I would never ask somebody to do something with me if I didn't think it was going to be safe. I wouldn't do it. And I hope that they would learn to trust the Lord in that so he can be your shield. See, he wants to activate your faith. But if you don't trust him, he cannot shield you. Therefore, you can't be activated because you won't have the shield. You won't have his protection. You have to come to those terms of, to live is Christ, to die is to gain. Lord, I don't care what anybody says about me. I don't care how people feel about me. I'm just going to do what God asks me to do. I'm not going to get hung up and go in my room and eat worms. That's not going to happen. I used to do that. Amen? Amen? So, the word, the way of the Lord is what? Perfect. Amen? The word of the Lord is what? Proven. And he is a shield to what? To those that trust him. Amen? It's by the blood of the Lamb. That's perfect. The testimony of our word is proven. Nobody can take your testimony away, right? And if you trust the Lord, he's going to be your shield. So, can I tell you today what God said those words mean? The first one, perfect. The blood of Jesus, perfect. Transformation. This conference is going to be about transformation. Amen? He's going to bring a transformation for whatever you came in that door tonight with. By the time we're done Saturday night, there's going to be some transformations. And the biggest one is going to be your faith and your belief. Amen? Your trust and asking, learning to ask God for favor. Because he says, I'm not going to give it unless you ask for it. Amen? The second word is, his word is proven. Your testimony of your word is proven. And it's called reformation. And where that comes in, when the Lord gave that to me, I went, well, Lord, these transformation, reformation, aren't they the same? And he goes, no. The reformation is when you become a Christian, you're going down the road and you have professed to be a Christian, but pretty much everything out here is still going on the same. Okay? But when you come to a place where you're hearing the Lord asking you to make a deeper commitment, and you know what I'm talking about, he's going, get off the off-ramp, get on the off-ramp, get off the highway, you're not going anywhere, you're going to just be a Christian written down in the book of life, and there's not going to be any proof of it. Amen? He's saying, it's time for reformation. And what is reformation? That's where you're willing to get off the off-ramp and start following the Lord like you're supposed to. Most people, when they ask Jesus in their heart, don't follow the Lord. They just say, I'm a Christian. What's the proof? Tell me your proof. Testimony. Who have you brought to the kingdom? How many names are on your belt list? Notches. Think about it. But I'll tell you what happens with reformation, and reformation is all through the Old Testament, because every time the Jews were bad, they had to get reformed, reformatted. They go into prison for 400 years. Yes, they came back. They didn't even know what the law was. You hear what I'm saying? They had to be reformatted. And God says, we need to be reformatted. What are we being reformatted for? Him. The very image of God. Who is he? Full of love, full of compassion. You know, that's where you really see the evidence of a Christian, is how they're treating you, how they're acting. Are they full of love? Are they full of compassion? Are they full of long-suffering? Are they full of patience? Because these are the characters and the image of God that we've been made in, and he's reforming us. Isn't that good? Okay, and then the third one is the word activation. I've already said it. Because he can activate you. If you're living to say, to live is Christ, to die is to gain. I can't lose. I can't lose. Amen? You can't lose either. Amen? What are you afraid? They're going to slap you if you talk about Jesus? Learn to duck good. You know, did you ever play duck, duck, goose?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just practice it. Come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that you allowed me to point the way. And I just thank you for the arrows that were passed out, that they will remember those arrows pointing the way to victory. Lord, we want to walk in victory. And Lord, some are sitting here and they're thinking about what is being said. And Lord, I pray that you would just help turn their hearts towards you. Lord, if they're in that place that they want to be reformatted, Lord, I pray when they go home tonight, they'll go back over those scriptures and they'll see you are purposely tonight getting them ready for tomorrow night. And I pray that tomorrow, wherever they're at, they will go find somebody they know that just needs to be here. Just needs to be here. And Lord, let them just even pay them to come. They'll probably give the money back when they're done. But Lord, just let them use the greatest acts of kindness to bring them in. Because the greatest kindness you can give them is abundant life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Father, thank you for the worship team. I thank you for my friends. And may you just give them a safe journey home. And Lord, let them begin to work on their lists, because tomorrow night we're going to be talking a lot about healing. There's going to be a healing work in this place tomorrow night, in Jesus' name. Amen.